1,400 miles later, that's just to get down there, and then all of the crazy stuff that goes on. That doesn't include all the miles back and forth from here and there. Letting Emma drive to get some practice was trying, as she was trying to follow her mom, and my mom was following her, which I'll be talking about some of that. There's a lot of good spiritual thoughts when it comes to these types of things, and the parallel that we have on a road trip is the things that we are experiencing on our journey as we make our way back to God. And so I want to kind of bring a lesson that does and touches on those types of things. The first thing you need is a good map. And that's true in so many ways. Tampa has changed in a lot of ways. I'm still surprised that sometimes I find myself remembering streets that are coming up, and I don't remember how I know that because things have changed so much. I actually, my mom, I fixed her dishwasher door, and I found myself having to make a trip down to where I went to high school, and I think I drove right by the high school. I'm not even sure. I may not have been where I thought I was, but I didn't spot it anyway. But I was down in a part of the neck of the woods that I hadn't been in a long time, and so a lot of memories, a lot of challenges, and I had a GPS on my phone that was taking me to where this place was to get the parts to fix the door on her dishwasher, and so I was thankful to have that. A good map, phones are great, but Lisa and I still try to remember to put the map that we have, a physical map, in the car, because sometimes what happens is you need to see if you can find an alternate direction, and not able to do that because of the fact that you can't change your phone and you need to see what routes and what direction you're heading. So we try to carry a good map to get where we need to go, and we've had to lean on that. And, of course, the parallel is obvious, that our map is, in fact, the Bible. And we mentioned just last week that Donnie Amos had said the BIBLE stands for Basic Information Before Leaving Earth. And the Bible is full of the instructions of God. It's God's map. It's God's blueprint for man. It is God's standard. And we spent some time a couple of weeks ago talking about Darwinism and evolution. And yet we can know that there is a God, but it's not until we study His written word that we learn what His message is and what pleases Him, what displeases Him. It's found in all of the Old Testament stories and accounts. It's found in the thou shalt and thou shalt nots. God doesn't change, and so there are things that are true that if it displeased Him before, it's going to displease Him now. And so we study the Word of God, and we need the Word of God, just like you need a good map to get you where you're going. I've been in places, of course, where the GPS map is not up to date in the car, and there's all kinds of new construction, and you can get really messed up trying to find your way. We need the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, we're familiar with this passage. It's not within man to direct his own footsteps. It's just not within us to know how to get from here to eternity. That takes the mind of God and His revelation to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about how the Spirit knows the mind of God and reveals the mind of God. And so we rely heavily upon the Scriptures. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, a passage that is so very familiar unto us because it tells us exactly what the Word of God does for us. So picture going on a trip and you're trying to make your way to eternity, make your way back to God, to get to heaven, to be rewarded the crown of life. And here's what the Word of God does for us. In verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. That's for the teaching that you need. It is therefore reproof. That is the evidences and things that we need, the corrections that we need, the instructions as he goes on, that you need to be corrected. You need to have instruction in righteousness. It doesn't instruct us in ways to get mischievous and to get into trouble. It uses those examples to show us not what to do, not to give us the blueprint on how to get in trouble. No, it leads us in righteousness. We looked last week at David's psalm. Lead me in the paths of righteousness. God leads us in the right ways. That is so important. that the man of God may be, well, you might do okay. No, he says complete, whole, perfect, thoroughly equipped. You've got everything you need for every good work. It gives you all the tools and equipment as instruments of righteousness to do the things that God would have you to do. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter would pen these words in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 1 and in verse 3. And His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So when someone today says, oh, the Bible's outdated and it's not sufficient for 2021, let me just say it the way the Southerners say it. That's hogwash, right? That's just simply not true. It gives us all things that pertain to how to live and how to live a godly life. And so we need a good map. That's very, very, very important. There are also hazards along the way. I use the Waze app. I don't know if you know what that is, but I use the Waze app, and the Waze app is an interactive app where people all along the way are telling you what's going on, and you see them when they're going by because there goes by a little face going the other way, and you can see they're ahead of you, and there's people that have this app open, and I used it on the way back. And it's real time. And what that is it marks road hazards. It'll tell you when somebody's pulled off the road, a truck is broken down. And what's happening is as you're traveling down the road, you're told, it comes up, it says, in 0.4 miles, there's a object in the road. And so sure enough, I'd start looking, is that object? And then it comes up and it wants me to tell it if it's still there. So the person behind me will know, well, absolutely, there was a tarp flapping around, and somebody, it wasn't off the road yet, probably three lanes of traffic, and I was like, the next person for sure, that bugger is going to get caught on the front of their car. The person that hit it right before that really stretched it out, and I thought the next one's really going to suck it up onto the car, and then you look, and sure enough, there's always a lot of truck tires everywhere. Maybe there's a block of wood that fell out, but there's all these obstacles. There's the car alongside the road that you realize that when you go by, it's been there for days because it's been sitting there with an orange sticker on it now, and so forth. There's always kinds of obstacles, road hazards, tires. Have you ever seen the pictures of the tires that get loose off a car and goes through somebody's windshield? Just horrible things. There are all types of hazards. Well, that's true, isn't it? There are many obstacles in life on our journey to heaven that you have to avoid. That's just a plain hard fact. There are many things. There are temptations that come our way. There are trials that come our way. There are many hazards. There are things that are going to knock us off course. I saw a motorcycle, and I thought, "What?" I used to ride a motorcycle, and I thought, well, what happens if he hits a block of wood? And I thought, ooh, you know, he's really got to pay attention. And I wondered, do the motorcycles have that app going, hey, there's something in the road? And I thought, well, if I ever ride a motorcycle again, that might be a good idea. And so it is with life. There are things that come up. There are temptations, but God always provides the way of escape. We understand in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that no temptation that is unique to us, and that in every temptation, God provides a way of escape. We just need to take it. 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 13. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 105. Brother Gary uses this in his prayer. Psalm 119, 105, he says, Thy word, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what the word of God is. It's to help us navigate all of the challenges of life, all of the obstacles that come, that confront us, and there are numerous, and it lights up the way. It's intended, like we were talking about in class. It's there to train us and prepare us for what lies ahead. So when the obstacle comes, the temptation comes, the trial comes, we look at a trial and we understand that God says, well, you go through that trial and you're going to gain experience. And not only are you going to gain experience, Paul told the church at Rome, he says you will gain endurance. You'll be able to endure because the next time, you'll know how to handle that. And you'll be able to endure it better because of the things that you have learned. But not only, I also thought of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 22. Because when I think of hazards and obstacles that occur on our journey to heaven and our time here on earth, I think about how we even have to, as he says, abstain from every form of evil. The King James says to avoid all appearance of evil. We are to abstain from things and stay as far away from things that even appear to be evil. Now, there's the old, well, would you go into the bar to get somebody or to teach somebody or something like that? Well, most of the time, that's not why a Christian would be even going into a bar. If you see a Christian going into a bar, it's usually because they're going into the bar for bad reasons. And that's that. And again, you wouldn't want to jump to a conclusion, but there are things that we need to avoid. There are appearances that we need to avoid. There are places that we need to avoid because of the connotations that are found where we are at. And so we have the challenge of avoiding even obstacles of things as the way they appear. They may even appear to someone as being evil. And it should never be the attitude, let me say this, should never be with the attitude of that's their problem, that's their fault. No, we do bear a responsibility with the example that we set, the appearance that we give, where we are, what we say. It's very important about who we spend our time with and the things that we do because of the appearance of things that we understand would be wrong. And so, again, what that's doing is that's helping us avoid many things that would, in fact, tear us down. Evil companions corrupt good manners. Don't be deceived, Paul told the church at Corinth. And so we fool ourselves into thinking that, well, I won't be affected, even though I'm in this place where it appears that we're doing evil, because things change very quickly. As all of us know in our youth, we might have started off. I remember the example I think I've given with regards to this. I was preaching in Wisconsin, and we were trying to get to know the chiropractor that Lisa was going to and his family, and he invited us out to his house. Well, unbeknownst to us, you know, it was not just us, it was several, and the beer started showing up. And we found ourselves in a situation we really didn't want to be in. We were about to be in a situation where everybody's sitting around drinking, and it really got to me when my little bitty Nicholas is probably 2 years old and he's being helpful handing out the beers. Yeah, we left pretty quick. We left pretty quick because we'd gotten ourselves into a situation where we thought we might have an opportunity to have some discussion, get to know them, build a relationship, and before we knew it, we're in a situation that the things were completely reversed. And we had to recognize that. So we have to be careful. I thought about all the billboards. You know, billboards are distractions. There's a lot to look at on the interstate. And, you know, I was thinking about how they set them up high. Well, that's so you can see them off in a distance right in your eyesight, right? Because you don't want to be a distracted driver. It's easy to forget that you're driving, and it's easy to get distracted at times because there's a lot of things to look at. Sometimes you look away because of what the billboard says or expresses. I mean, the purpose is to get you to stop to get oranges, Georgia pecans, or peaches. The Busy Bee gas station, that's there on 10, which is a lot like a new Buc-ee's out over on 65 down in Birmingham. I think there's one coming to Athens. If you haven't been to a Buc-ee's, you're about to learn about Buc-ee's. They're big in Texas. Or maybe you see the billboard, Al's Alligators, you know, and you got to stop. Or Bob's Airboat Rides, you know, saw a lot of those. And there's a lot of things that are inappropriate to even look at. And there's the T-shirt shops going to Tampa. You know, you got all the souvenir. I love there's the guy that sells the bonsai trees when you get back on 231 to come back into Alabama. And one of these days I might buy me a bonsai tree. But he's got it right there to keep you thinking. And then there's, I was amazed at how many people are handling and holding their phones. Distractions. My distraction came from a phone call from my brother. I had my GPS on my phone on, and I was going down 10, waiting to turn on to 231 to go up to Dothan. And Alan called, as he always does, and he calls me when he's traveling. And I had it plugged in, and I was ready that when I was listening to the radio, when the phone came, I hit auxiliary, answered the call. We're talking through the phone. Well, guess what? The GPS must have been going, turn right, turn right. You're supposed to be turning here. Hello, get off at 231. And all of a sudden it hit me. I said, Alan, I don't know that I turned. I think I might have missed my turn because... So now he's on the other end pulling up a map, you know, and so I wormed my way, lost some time there because I was distracted. And I needed Lisa to be going, you got to turn here, you got to turn here. So I was missing my travel buddy. And so there's a lot of things. Well, there's a lot of things that distract us on our road back to God. The devil puts a lot of lipstick on a pig, and that's the truth. And that's what we were talking about, the wicked one. To the young men, because you're conquering, you're winning the battle against the wicked one. In 1 John chapter 2, where we're at in our study, look at 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17 again with me. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so there are the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, worldly pleasures, material things, busyness, things that distract us, things that take our attention away from what is most important. There are a lot of things on earth. There's a lot of things around here to distract us from where we are headed. And so that takes a lot of diligence and focus, doesn't it, to stay focused on the direction that we're going. And that's the trade-off. The trade-off is this short period of time of life described as a vapor. Oh, you can have all the fun you want to have here, but you'll spend eternity, a time that never ends in eternal damnation, a place that it's called the lake of fire. That's quite a trade-off. Pleasures now versus eternity with God. And so you have to stay focused, don't you? You have to be diligent in your walk with Christ. And we understand as we're studying 1 John how important it is to walk steadily. Brother Ryan, you prayed in your prayer to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so that has to be our focus. And many of you, this is home. This has been home for you for many, many years. It's maybe you've always been here. And what I want to say is, you know, but you can't plant your roots deep. Not deep here in terra firma, not in the earth. Because the earth is going to perish. And it's not going to be global warming. The fire that God's going to light is going to burn it up right away. And so we're not going to perish because of global warming. We will perish because God says, time's up. And everything like we were talking about will be gone. But there's a lot of things that distract us. It can be our family. We put our family first. We put our things first. We put our job first. And yet when you understand that when you put God first, everything falls into place. Why do you work? Well, you work to support your family. Well, some men work so much that they neglect their family. You see, things are out of whack. Things are distracted because we want more. We want more things. So we have to be careful about all the distractions. Then there's the challenges of traffic. Really, the only place I came to a stop, and I was kind of surprised, it was miles before Birmingham. I think somebody probably did something stupid, and to avoid what they were doing, somebody had to brake hard, and next thing you know, we had a backup that you just had to creep along until you could finally start moving again. There's always challenges. Back to Emma. I let Emma drive. She said, I want to get some practice. Boy, that was the wrong thing. It was Wednesday night. We took Mom out for Mother's Day. She wanted to eat at an Applebee's. Well, that was way up in the most construction, one of the busiest places in the whole area anymore. It's got a bazillion lanes, and then there's construction. And so she's following Mom. I'm in Kara's little car because I had to do some stuff to it. And And my mom's behind us, and we're all splitting and going to services in different directions. So here we are going down the road, and here's little Emma trying to follow mom, and mom doesn't know where she's going. She's got her phone chattering, and she's crossing lanes, and then there's a wreck right in the middle, fender bender. And next thing you know, Lisa's going around it, and Emma's got herself trying to go around, and there's people coming in and people getting over. And I'm like freaking out, and people are looking at her going, because they see me in here going like this and pointing and grabbing and turning and do this and don't hit that. Challenges. There's challenges in life. Death is a big challenge. I'll just be frank. Coming home, and I don't know what triggered it, but I thought of my brother Mike. And then I thought of my dad, and I thought about my mom that I really never knew. And I started bawling for about 30 seconds, not very long. But the thought that I had is how much I've missed out on my kids having a grandpa and Uncle Mike. And my thoughts very quickly turned to one day seeing them again. And I wiped my tears, and I went on. Death is hard. Sickness is hard. Job losses are hard. An accident is hard. Storm damage can be rough. Water leaks. Things that hurt us and frustrate us cause anxiety and doubt. And even at times, they challenge our own faith. But I will say this, prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. It is a tool you cannot do without on your road back to God. God knows what you need. He also wants you to realize that He has what you need and can help in a time of need. And when challenges come, it's not time to pull away from God, but a time to walk to Him, with Him, and to pray and talk to Him. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. But that takes humility. And God wants us to humble ourselves. Now, the problem and the challenge is that God may answer it, and God may say maybe and not now, and He may say no. But the one thing that is for certain, God has never lied to us and said that this road is going to be easy, because as we'll see in a moment, Jesus said it's a difficult way. But I am saddened with people that try to navigate this life without the road map and without God to help them navigate and being able to talk to Him. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 4. If you would, very quickly. Hebrews chapter 4. If you look at verse 15, it is a familiar passage that we quote. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There are challenges, but we cannot meet those challenges without God. There are choices. What route will I take? Well, the first thing was that when I set home, it said, I want you to go through Atlanta. And I didn't change it. I just listened to it, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around, until it finally reset. I chose Dothan, though Waze was telling me to go to Atlanta. Lisa told me the Branham's picked Atlanta and wished they hadn't. I'll just say that. So I lost an hour in all of my distractions. They must have had distraction, and I'll tell you about some more of those as we go on. But life has choices. Who will I marry? That will profoundly affect your life. That's your helpmeet, or that's the head of your house. And the direction you're going to go is depending on who you marry. It's going to cause challenges when it comes to your future family. That's such an important decision. What job will you take? I mean, what will you do? That's an important decision. There's good jobs, but I'll tell you what Kevin Clark said again. I told you he spoke at the commencement ceremony. And he said, Christians have a glass ceiling. And he said, let me explain. He says, you know you can go here. You got all the talents in the world to go here. You can do that. But he said, if you go there, you won't be the father that you should be or the mom that you should be. You won't be the person. You'll have to give up things to go there. So there's a ceiling. And you have to become comfortable with that. And he's been honored in many ways. Where will I live? Remember, Lot went right into Sodom. And it took his family. He went out with his two daughters and his wife, and he lost his wife, and then his daughters slept with him. What congregation will I attend? Well, you generally will make that decision before you go somewhere, because the Lord's church and the Lord worshiping and those things are of grave importance. Where do you go to college? That's big decisions of life. Choices that either put us in a better position to make our trip and strengthen our faith, or to weaken and damper or even shipwreck it. And so those are big decisions. In Matthew chapter 7, we go there now to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He said there's two roads. He says this. He says in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there be many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Two roads, one is easy, and one is difficult. One road is a superhighway, and the other is a narrow road. But each road leads to far different places. One road goes to eternal life, and the other leads to eternal damnation. There are choices that we make on our trip to determine where we will spend our eternity. Then I thought about nourishment. Boy, there's just all of the signs. Sonny's Barbecue and McDonald's and Chick-fil-A and Skeeter's Big Biscuits. And earlier I told you, well, I didn't tell you. So the first stop that I made, I stopped to get me, and I went into Circle K because you can buy a big thing. And I just concocted my own iced coffee. Those of you that know, I'd make an iced coffee every morning. So I made a big one, and I set it down, and I said, I probably did something wrong, but charge me whatever you got to charge me for that. And so she charged me probably for an iced coffee. And I walked out. Well, I put it in. Well, no, the Wendy's was there, so rather than make another stop, I grabbed two biscuits, and off I went, right? So I got in the car. I'm in Kara's car. Put the big old thing, I didn't get a lid, put the thing right here, pulled out, looked right, there's the entrance ramp. Well, that was the wrong direction. I went the wrong way. I was headed south again. So as I turned, the thought was, oh, I'm not sure I got on the right one. I didn't even think about that. So what do? Life's going to be better if you start drinking your iced coffee. I picked it up, I hit something, I soaked myself, I grabbed the styrofoam so hard to steady it and bring it back up that I poked a hole in it. My Slurpee glass that I make my coffee in every morning that I took to my mom's was right there, and I went as fast as I could, and I ended up with what I always drink every morning. And I went on down the interstate soaking wet for 9 miles there and 9 miles back. I had the thought about turning around and authorized only. I'll talk about that in a minute. I missed one where I probably could have done it, but you're not supposed to. It didn't have that sign, but there was a cut through. But when you're going 70 to make up your mistake, well, that was all to get my nourishment. And so what is life like? Listen, you need your spiritual food. probably until I said last week I talked about Psalm 23, we talked about King David. You probably, if I'd asked you, you'd have probably sat and said, oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Listen, if I asked you what you ate last Saturday, you'd probably struggle. If I asked what you had 2 weeks ago, you'd probably struggle. And so it is with the lessons that you hear, right? But you needed them at the time, right? Today, hopefully, what we're talking about is something that will help you today. And so it is. We have to get our nourishment from the Word of God. And right here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says, for they shall be filled. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, or give diligence, some of the scriptures, the versions read. Effort, your personal effort, your personal study to get the nourishment that you need on your trip. That comes in all kinds of forms. There's so much information and good lessons out on the internet. There's gospel meetings. There's opportunities for you to study on your own, to go through different books, however you choose to do it. But study the Word of God to get your spiritual nourishment. And then there's the authority, and that is you have to obey. You spot a police officer. They were tucked in. They were looking for speeders. Well, what about Christians? Well, you're supposed to obey the laws of the land so long as they don't violate the Word of God, right? So that's what you do. You abide by the laws, and you don't worry about the police officer tucked in. In Romans 13, verse 1 through 3, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And right now, our nation is torn asunder over something like this. Something that is so common sense. And yet, we've got a whole movement now that is trying to destroy authorities. An authority. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. And so to the young people, you know, if you get pulled over, it's yes, sir. And do whatever they say and whatever they direct you. And you need to remember that even on to the future walks of lives. Because as you get older, you think, well, he's just a young snapper out there. I'll put him in his place. No, we need to respect the authority. They're there, as it says, by God's own will. And right now in our country, it's just full of lawlessness and hatred towards the police officers. And I'm thankful that in areas like this, that there may be some, but it's not the majority, but there are parts of our country that are being torn asunder. Then there's the wrong direction and the corrections. And again, so the rest of the story, when I got that coffee on me and all that, I was going the wrong way. And so I lost total between my two mistakes. I think I lost an hour correcting my distractions and my not paying attention and turning the wrong way. And so it is with life. But what I want to say about that as far as a spiritual lesson, our study of 1 John talks about how we confess our sins. We repent. You have to turn from them. I mean, you can't continue going in the wrong direction. You've got to turn around and go the right way. And if I hadn't, you know, as appealing as it was, because my family was going to go out onto the lake and have a lot of fun yesterday, as appealing as it was to say, well, you know, I'm headed south again, I had to turn around. You have to make those course corrections, and so it is in life. When we sin, we need to repent and turn back to God. And we have to confess. We have to admit it. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Look at James chapter 5 and in verse 16. Confess your faults to one another. James chapter 5. And verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, there's people that believe they're headed in the right direction all the time religiously. And they can believe it in their heart, and yet they're headed in the wrong direction. And how sad, they think they're headed towards heaven. And in fact, they're headed towards hell. And that's sad. What a sad state to be headed in the wrong direction and not even know that you're going that way. Well, this morning, you have a choice if you're here. You have a choice to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or you can refuse it again today. But you have a choice this morning. Will you obey the gospel and come and confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, turning from your sins, believing that He is the Son of God, and being baptized in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away? Maybe you're a child of God and there's something amiss. There's something that needs to be corrected. Don't wait, because we don't know when the Lord will come again. And as we sing, there is a great day coming, and we need to be ready for it. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.